statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
You are listening to In the Know with David O., informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB. And now, your host, Philadelphia Councilman David O.
All right, good afternoon. This is David O. Thank you for joining me once again here on In the Know with David O., WWDB AM 860 Radio. Listen, we have got a great show for you. We are going to be meeting Solomon Jones. Have you heard of Solomon Jones? Maybe you've written something or you've read some of his writing, heard him on Word 900 AM. Certainly a name that you should know, but do you know much about who he is, what he's about? We're going to find that out today, and then we're going to meet Ricardo Hurtado. He is the president and CEO of Hispanic Media LLC, their newspaper, which you may have come across or maybe not because you don't get Spanish language newspapers. That is El Sol. And they are also sponsoring the Powerful Latina Awards 2019. And so I'm looking forward to speaking with both of them. And let me just remind everybody that last week we met Tracy Gordon. She's the winner of the Democratic primary for Register of Wills, and she is unopposed. So she's in a very interesting position. I said she came out of nowhere to win. I didn't say she came out of nowhere. Yeah, she's been around for sure, yeah. But I don't think anybody's expecting her to win. And so she, just like Rochelle Belau, is a very interesting position in kind of like the political climate here and as a reformer, you know, that type of thing. So great talking to Tracy Gordon. And we met a young group, Jada Fate. They are the world music winners of PHL Live Center Stage, wonderful group of young folks, wishing them well. And then we talked to Marilyn Rodriguez, the founder of Ahora Sí Television, and she is about to host her 7th annual Ahora Sí Gala. And I bring that up because you can listen to that show and other shows by going to www.wwdbam.com. And there you just go to the menu In the Know with David O. and then find, whatever show you'd like to listen to. And there are many. Let me thank the show's sponsor, because without Weinerman Pain and Wellness, there would be no show. And listen, I really enjoy bringing the decision makers, influencers, talented persons and persons that have a lot of expertise to bring information to you. And I do that thanks to Weinerman Pain and Wellness. They're located at the Land Title Building, 100 South Broad Street, Suite 1800. If you are in need of pain management, rehabilitation, they do a wonderful job. Check them out. You can call them at 215-988-9503. Well, let me start with my first guest. I mean, I am kind of like the master becomes a student. So, see, I do this once a week, and this gentleman sitting next to me, he does this for a living, and he is outstanding at what he does. He is Solomon Jones, an Essence best-selling author, award-winning journalist, who's been featured nationally on NPR's Morning Edition, CNN Headline News, Essence Magazine. He's currently an award-winning columnist for the Philadelphia Daily News and morning host of 900 AM Word Radio in Philadelphia. He's a blogger and a frequent on-air commentator for NPR affiliate WHYY. His novels include Pipe Dream, The Bridge, Ride or Die, Cream, Payback, The Last Confession, The Gravedigger's Ball, and The Dead Man's Wife. He's currently working on, or at least the time of this bio, was working on yet another novel. He is the recipient of numerous awards, including that from American Cities Foundation, Father's Day Rally Committee, Knight Foundation, and Community College of Philadelphia. He's the father of three. He and his wife live here in Philadelphia. Solomon, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So listen, would we call you a controversial figure? To some, you would be, and to many, you're not. You're just the voice of opinion. You're the voice of wisdom. You're the voice of experience. You're definitely the voice of the African-American community. Would you say that's accurate?
I would say I am a voice of the African American community because we're not a monolith.
Right.
There are many in the African American community who agree with me, who will follow me, who support me. There are some in the African American community who don't agree with me, and that's fine. I love them anyway because that's where I come from. I come from a spirit of loving my community, and that of course starts with the African American community, but it goes beyond. I've lived here in Philadelphia all my life, and everything I've learned about manhood, about politics, about living, about family, I've learned here in the city of Philadelphia. So I love this city and I love its people. But I'm especially concerned about those who are at a disadvantage, those who are impoverished, those who are not in a position to speak up for themselves. And that's why I do what I do.
Right, right. Now, when I say voice, it's because you're on the radio. You are heard a lot. You also have a blog and other things. So you are a voice, but you have a pretty big platform, I would say.
Yeah, I would say that too. I've been blessed and I've been very fortunate to be able to do what I do in the various places that I do it. You mentioned that I'm on Word, you know, every day doing a morning show, but I also appear on two other shows during the week, every week, on FM radio, on WRNB, and on Classics 107.9. And so I'm a busy man.
Yes, yes, you are.
I'm working hard, but I love what I do because I do it from the heart.
Yes.
You know, and that's really what it's about. It's about looking at people who have been some of the places that I've been, people who have experienced some of the things that I've experienced, and giving them a voice that they might not otherwise have.
Let me ask you this. At one point in your life, you were in a really bad place.
Yeah.
For our listeners, Solomon Jones was a drug addicted, homeless, and how did that happen? Did you start out in a bad place or did you find yourself in a bad place?
Yeah, I don't know that anybody grows up to say, you know, I want to be addicted to drugs. That's not where I was headed. That's not where I came from. I came from a good family, a loving family, a good home. And I made some decisions that landed me in places that I never thought I would be.
How old were you?
I don't know, maybe in my early 20s, and, you know, I had gone to some of the best schools in Philadelphia. I had gone to a Masterman for middle school.
Yeah.
I had gone to Northeast High School and graduated
from
there. And, you know, one thing led to another, and my life spiraled out of control from one drug, from one substance to another, and then on to another. I was on drugs during the crack era. And so it was interesting because when I look back on it, I've got 23 years clean now. But when I look back on it, it was an era that really tore the community apart. We lived in West Oak Lane and then in North Philly when my parents got divorced. And one of the things I learned from North Philly in living in a place where it was more impoverished than what I was accustomed to, what I learned was character. What I learned was that people shared out of their lack. So they didn't have a lot.
Right.
But what we had, we shared with other people. What we had, we were willing to give to other people. And so I learned about character. I learned about giving. I learned about people going to work every day, even though they knew that this was not going to lift them out of that economic condition, but it was going to feed their family. And when the drugs came along in our community, it tore down some of the cultural fabric that was there. The church was a big part of our community. I grew up in Pinal United Methodist Church. And those morals and those values that came out of that culture began to erode with the drugs, because now you had drug addicts who were willing to do anything to get the drug. And then you had drug dealers who were willing to do anything to sell the drug. And remember, these were people who hadn't had much before. And so once you get a taste of having more, I think that the mores and the folkways in our society, in our culture, in our neighborhood were torn down in favor of, okay, we can get the material things that we've never had an opportunity to have before, and I'm willing to do anything to get it. And so you had that dichotomy. On one side, you had the people who were selling the drugs and who were tearing down the community. And then on the other side, you had the people who were using the drugs and were doing the same thing.
You know, fill this in for me, because I was in a DA's office, a young prosecutor, 85 to 88.
Yeah.
And it was in the middle of Miami Vice. Remember that TV show, Miami Vice? Yeah. All the drugs. The organized crime, drug dealing, shower posse, violence, all that thing's happening. And it was cocaine. There were other things, but mainly cocaine.
Right.
And just around the time I was leaving, I think there was a thing called crystal cocaine crack. Something kind of new. And it was just like the talk of the DA's office. Oh, man, you know, this stuff. Anyway, so what happens, I go into the military. I go into a basic training, officer candidate school, infantry officers basic. Come back to Philadelphia, and my neighborhood in Southwest Philadelphia, Cobbs Creek, is completely transformed. In our quiet little block, there are cars up and down the street where there had never been cars. There are prostitutes, and sorry for the derogatory word, we just called them crack prostitutes. They were a different kind of prostitute. They weren't in Center City. They weren't dressed up. They were just from the neighborhood for $5, $10. It was just a bizarre world. And so when I came back to Philadelphia, this is what I'm introduced to. And so that is somewhere around 1990, something like that. What happened that that it had such a sudden and dramatic effect on communities?
I think that you had people who were looking for something that would make them feel good. And from a spiritual perspective, that's how Satan works. He'll show you the good part, but he won't show you the end of it. And so people didn't understand the end of it. And I think that because everything with crack cocaine was so quick, the high was quick, the downfall was quick, the money was quick, and so neighborhoods fell down just as quickly as everything that was involved with that drug. And so I think that it tore people's families apart. I think it tore people's lives apart, and we are still suffering the consequences of that now. One of the things that happened with the DA's office, which, of course, I did not know then, but I know now, was the confiscation program, where they would take people's houses and cars and cash, people who had been accused but maybe not convicted.
Forfeiture.
The forfeiture, the civil asset forfeiture program. And so $72 million worth of stuff was taken out of the black and brown communities here in the city of Philadelphia. And it was interesting because once it happened to someone who was not from that community, then it became national news. And then these people sued. And then they were rightly portrayed as victims, because that's what they were. They didn't know that their son had some drugs or whatever. And they took these people's home. But this had been happening in the black and brown communities for years before that, and it was ignored and it was looked upon as if it was right. And so I say that to say that we are still suffering the consequences of what happened with crack cocaine, not only from the users and from the dealers and from the mass incarceration, but also from that war on drugs response to it that really helped to tear the communities down completely.
I remember, you know, that law, the forfeiture, was supposed to be used to deal with drug dealing organizations, to take their vehicles of delivering drugs. But then what happened is some young person would be buying some drugs and they'd confiscate the car, and turned out like it was mom and dad's car. They had no idea what was going on. There would be a truck driver and he'd purchase some drugs and they confiscate the company's truck. And it was going in that direction. And it was before really the forfeitures were really kind of going on, I think, kind of after I had left. And when I came back, it was like now really a thing about like confiscating things with that desperate effort, I think, to try to send a message, like all the arrests, the incarcerations, and that message was not being received. It was continuous, as we now say, losing battle of trying to get that big impact that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Now, I see that you were penning articles for the Philadelphia Tribune in 1993 while at the Ridge Avenue shelter.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
So I went through a lot of programs. I did what they tell you to do when you have a drug problem. Ironically, my drug problem took off while I was working for the Philadelphia Police Department as a dispatcher. I lost that job, kind of walked away from that job, really. And began to engage in that downward spiral. Once I decided I wanted to get clean, I went to a detox, went back and did the same thing again, went to another one, went back and relapsed again. And so I was in and out of detoxes, in and out of programs, and ended up at Ridge Avenue Shelter, where they were running a program through a group called Self Incorporated that was a peer counseling type program.
Right.
And met a woman named Susan Jacobs who came in. She wanted people to write for her newsletter. She said that she had pizza. I like pizza. I like to write.
Yeah,
so right. I said, okay, well, I'll write for your newsletter.
Now let me interrupt for a second.
Yeah.
Did you have any idea at that time that you wanted to be a journalist, a writer of any sorts?
I had actually had a year in college at that time, majoring in journalism.
Okay.
And had dropped that like I dropped everything else.
Right.
Because when you are going through an addiction, it's almost impossible to do anything else.
Right.
And so I knew that I could write. I knew that I had that skill.
Right.
And so I started to write for her newsletter. She, in turn, took something that I had written and gave it to a guy named Lynn Washington, who at the time was an editor at the Philadelphia Tribune. And he asked me, he ran it on a 2-page spread. And so I walk from the shelter downtown, I'm looking for a newsstand, and I find it at Chestnut Street. And it was an amazing thing to see my name in print on this article, and to see it on a 2-page spread. And it was, I think that moment was a key moment for me, because it meant that through writing, I could experience something that I couldn't experience through any drug or through anything else. And I really do feel like writing saved my life. That having that experience and being able to do that gave me something else to aim for. And I began writing for them on a regular basis from the shelter.
Fast forward, you graduate cum laude from Temple University with a bachelor's in journalism. So now you're clearly on the road to writing.
Right.
And would you say that at that point in time you had an idea that you were going to be committed to the field of journalism?
I think that I had an idea that I was going to be committed to writing. I loved it. I always had loved it. And you know, one of the things that's important about education is that it's something that you can always reach back to.
Right.
It's something that they can't take away from you. And so although I had gone through homelessness and addiction and all of these other things, I still had my education and was able to use it to really elevate myself from where I was. And so when I graduated, I began to write for, actually I started with a PR job, because even when I went back to college and my mind cleared, it was like I had all of this stuff that I wanted to do. And right, so I was writing for, I wrote a piece for Philadelphia Magazine. I did some sports for the Philadelphia Inquirer. I wrote for the Philadelphia Tribune. And so I had all these relationships in the media and was able to parlay that into a job as a development director for the Salvation Army of Eastern Pennsylvania and Delaware.
Wow.
And so I'm doing PR for shelters, having come out of a shelter.
Right.
So that was ironic. They didn't know that at the time, but it kept me smiling.
Well, listen, time is passing way too quick. We have to go to a commercial break. I'd like everyone to stay tuned because we're going to hear a little bit about Solomon Jones's first book, first novel, Pipe Dreams. Mm. And then did you know that he's a pastor, preaches every Sunday? I'd like to get to hear about that as well. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after this commercial break.
You are listening to In the Know with David O. Informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB.
If you've suffered an injury from a motor vehicle crash, trip and fall, construction, or work-related accident, contact the Padova firm to speak with John Padova himself. You've heard the name. That's because for over 25 years, John has been winning for his clients. John is dedicated to ensuring his clients are fully compensated. Call 215-893-0700. That's 215-893-0700. Don't suffer more than you have to. Call John Padova today. Help is on the way.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Gracie Jiu-Jitsu begins with one basic premise. Technique trumps all. Proven techniques allow the weak to overcome the strong. Learn self-defense that works, all while improving your physical condition, mental outlook, and healthy lifestyle. Gracie Academy Philadelphia will help you reach your goals. Take two free classes and see for yourself. Gracie Academy, 1231 Bainbridge Street, Philadelphia. Call them 215-830-6501 or visit their website at phlbjj.com. Get started. Started at Gracie Academy, Philadelphia.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness.
Get some rear security.
From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all. The few, the proud, the Marines.
All right, we are back. We are talking to Solomon Jones, author, media personality, discovering the man behind the voice. And I'll tell you, this interview is going way too quick. I was hoping we get into a lot more, but, you know, unfortunately, with 10 minutes left, let me try to hit a couple of topics. Pipe Dreams, your first novel.
Yeah.
Now, just from the name of it, I could imagine what it's about.
Yeah.
But I could also say, That must have been very challenging in a way, cathartic in another way. What was that, like, the whole thing about your first novel?
So Pipe Dream is about four drug addicts running from the cops for a murder they did not commit. It's set in North Philly around Broad and Erie in 1992. It's part mystery, part thriller, part love story. But it really is more than anything, I think, the story of the human side of addiction. And right. And it's why I approach things the way that I do now, where addiction is concerned. One thing that I do want to make sure that I address is that when I look at the way that things were handled in the black and brown communities during the war on drugs, and then I look at the way that things are being handled now during what's being called the opioid crisis, there is a change in language.
Yes.
There is a change in approach. There is a softening of the approach. And so I find it very ironic, having been there and been through it. And I think that's one of the reasons why God allows us to go through some things and then takes us into different places where we can bring a perspective that maybe other people don't.
Right.
You know, if you have people who don't live here, who did not live through that, who do not understand the communities, who do not understand that things are handled differently based on race, based on class, then they approach it one way based on studies.
Right.
And that's fine. But this is not Vancouver.
Right.
This is not Ontario. This is not Amsterdam. This is not any of those places where those studies were done. This is a place where a drug dealer would kill you.
Right.
And so we really, I think, need to take some of the lessons from that time and really apply them to now and not talk about helping people to continue down that path of destruction. I've been there. And I know it's not a place where anybody needs to be.
Well, I will say, and me personally, I try not to give my own personal perspective. I have said, and I do agree with you, you know, but what you said, this is not Amsterdam, you know, this is not Vancouver. Drug dealers will kill you. There's
That's right.
A whole element of murder associated to this.
Right.
And some very brutal murders at that.
Yeah.
Well, when you... when you look at how things have evolved, is there an element that you could say, well, society has evolved, or is it an element where you say, listen, this is just injustice, and I see it that it is the same thing applied differently to different people based on how they look?
Yeah, I think that where addiction is concerned. And in Philadelphia, one of the things and one of the battles that I have joined is the battle of the people in Kensington and Harrogate who are fighting against having a safe injection site in their community. And the people that I am lined up next to are people who don't look like me.
Right.
And so they are being bullied, really, because they are of a different class. And so there's a race issue. And there's a class issue.
Right.
And for me, when I look at the class issue, I see that these people, I have a lot more in common than with them than I do with the folks who claim to be, you know, pro justice and who approach it from an extremely liberal perspective. Now, you know, I don't get into liberal and conservative badges or anything like that.
Right.
But what I would say is that sometimes you have to use common sense. Sometimes you have to look at things realistically. Sometimes you have to look at the way that things play out and figure out how do we best help people? Do we help them by allowing them to continue destroying themselves, destroying the white matter in their brain, having the neurotransmitters rewired, all of that? Or do we help them by helping them to get off the drugs that have them in our streets?
Mm. Now, let me ask you this, because a lot of what you do is you speak the truth.
Yeah.
You pursue, you know, what you feel is justice or the failure to provide justice. And at the same time, our listeners may not know that you are a pastor, mm-hmm. and you sometimes, as you corrected me, preach on Sundays. Mm-hmm. Where does your faith fit into all of this of who Solomon Jones is today?
Yeah, my faith is who I am, and my faith makes me whole, and my faith is what has allowed me to move from where I was to where I am. And I think that all of those experiences that I've had shape the perspective that I bring. I think that God allowed me to go through an addiction. He allowed me to go through homelessness. He allowed me to go through poverty so that when I looked at the homeless and the impoverished and the addicted, that I would understand where they are, and that I would be able to address it from a spiritual standpoint. You know, one of the things that that I looked at every single day when I was on another station, I was on a station where we did some gospel, was Luke 4:18, where Jesus walks into the temple and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Like, I'm here for the oppressed. Mm. I'm here for the blind. I'm here for the poor. I'm here for all of those people who are in that place that God took me out of, in order to try to bring them out as well. And so people aren't always going to like it. People aren't always going to agree with it. But what I hope is that they will respect it as I fight for what I believe is right.
Is it tough? Is it tough to speak the truth? And you got to think sometimes, like, man, I'm going to tell the truth, but man, people are going to hate it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be some really negative reactions to me. I hope they don't misunderstand it, but I have to speak the truth.
Mm-hmm.
What is it like for you to come to the decision, I am going to speak the truth?
It's not hard. Mm-hmm. It's really okay. Not. Because the people who I am speaking for understand, respect, and appreciate that truth. And so what other people think is really not of my concern. My concern is bringing about justice for those who might not otherwise get it. And I feel like I wouldn't be on 5 or 6 different platforms for nothing, right? If I'm there and I'm not going to say anything, give it to somebody else.
Right.
I don't need to be there, right? But if I am going to be there, as long as I am there, it really is my job to tell the truth and to do it in such a way that things change. Not just tell it just to be mean or tell it just to be controversial or any of those things. No, we tell that truth and walk in that truth so that we can bring about change.
Mm. In the remaining minute that we have,
yeah,
where can people find you, where they can follow you?
They can follow me on Twitter at SolomonJones1. They can follow me on Instagram at SolomonJones1. They can go to my website, SolomonJones.com. And of course, they can hear me every day on 900 AM, 96.1 FM, WURD for the morning show. They can hear me on WRNB 100.3. I do 2 commentaries 3 times a week there. They can hear me on Saturdays on Classics 107.9 FM. They can see me every other Wednesday in the Philadelphia Inquirer and Daily News. And of course, they can also check me out on WHYY.org.
Fantastic. Well, listen, Solomon Jones, father of 3, a faithful husband.
Oh, and they can see me in city council on Thursday because we're going to be down there.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, shout it out.
Raising a little cane down there around this issue with the police and the Facebook posts because we believe that it's important and we are looking for council to make a statement around it. And so the Rally for Justice Coalition meeting with public officials this week, but also we will be in council on Thursday, so I'll see you then.
All right. Okay. Solomon Jones, everybody. Stay tuned. After this commercial break, we'll be meeting Ricardo Hurtado, President and CEO, Hispanic Media LLC, and of course, El Sol newspaper.
You are listening to In the Know with David O. Informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB.
If you've suffered an injury from a motor vehicle crash, trip and fall, construction, or work-related accident, contact the Padova firm to speak with John Padova himself. You've heard the name. That's because for over 25 years, John has been winning for his clients. John is dedicated to ensuring his clients are fully compensated. Call 215-893-0700. That's 215-893-0700. Don't suffer more than you have to. Call John Padova today. Help is on the way.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Gracie Jiu-Jitsu begins with one basic premise. Technique trumps all. Proven techniques allow the weak to overcome the strong. Learn self-defense that works, all while improving your physical condition, mental outlook, and healthy lifestyle. Gracie Academy Philadelphia will help you reach your goals. Take two free classes and see for yourself. Gracie Academy, 1231 Bainbridge Street, Philadelphia. Call them 215-830-6501 or visit their website at phlbjj.com. Get started at Gracie Academy, Philadelphia.
At any given moment, somewhere in America, a baby is taking a first step, a developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
Introducing the YMCA. What, you already know the why? Or so you think. Sure, you know the why for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the why. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the Y as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
All right, we are back. Listen, we were talking to Solomon Jones, author, media personality, so many things. Of course, you could hear him on many radio stations, Solomon Jones. And listen, now I'm seated next to Ricardo Hurtado. He is president and CEO of Hispanic Media LLC, which people in Philly may know as El Sol, you know, Spanish language newspaper. But they do that and so much more. I mean, he is
publisher of El Sol newspapers, but also he's involved with planning and producing business conferences, staging product promotion events, online social media marketing, and print media marketing, with offices in Philadelphia, Miami, Wilmington, and Columbia. Hispanic Media has become a recognized voice in the industry and is much more than just a print media company, but they started right here in Philadelphia. Ricardo, welcome to the show.
Councilman, thank you. Thank you for the invitation. It's an honor.
Oh, boy, it's a pleasure. Now, you are doing so many things. It's too much to unpack, so let's start with this. You moved from Columbia to Philadelphia when you were 13 years old in 1983.
Indeed. My parents brought me. I'm originally from Bogota, Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed my early years in Bogota until when my mother said it's time to come to the United States. And at the age of 13, they went on vacation and they had everything ready for me, and we came to the United States.
Mm. And you, of course, went to high school, college here.
Yes.
And, you know, continued your education from Penn State, continued in Ecuador.
Yes, yes.
And what did you do in Ecuador?
Well, my mother married my stepfather is from Ecuador.
Mm, okay.
So we have roots in Ecuador.
Yes, okay.
So every summer in middle school and high school, our vacation home was in Ecuador.
Mm.
So I grew into learning in Ecuador, Manabí, Puerto Viejo, and all the major cities. So I spent a lot of time in Ecuador.
Right, right.
So there's a lot of grassroots that we have in Ecuador.
Mm. Now, how did you end up starting El Sol newspaper?
Well, that's a long story.
Mm.
That was 20-some years ago. But I wanted to go into the communication industry to make sure I give something back to the community.
Right.
I feel that as we grow in the cities that we belong to, we should give back to the community.
Right.
The newspaper early on was something that I needed to go across the communication industry. I ran into some people that were doing newspapers. I learned some instances from them. I ended up putting some money on it, and that company folded. So at that point, the only way for me to get my money back at that point was to go into the industry.
Mm, okay.
And my idea was to go into the industry, get my money back, and then switch careers.
Right.
I don't think that happened. I think I went to the industry, and I continue. I'm still in the industry.
Right, right. So you weren't like a journalism major. You weren't like someone who said, man, I'm going to go into start a newspaper. Kind of like I invested my money. I lost my money, and I better get my money back.
No, Councilman. Actually, our very first front page was backwards.
It was backwards.
So no, I'm not. I'm a business major. I'm not a journalist.
Right.
I mean, throughout the years, I of course developed journalism on my blood because obviously the nature of what we do. But yeah, I mean, we went through some rough times when we started the first editions.
Yeah, and your office has been in Alani all these years.
We have. We have been criticized, and then we have been praised, and then we have been criticized. But David, I think that I'm true to our mission statement, and it's that we're a community-based newspaper.
Right.
With that being said, we do events in Center City. We do events in throughout the city. But one of our major hubs for events is Tierra Colombiana in North Philadelphia. And that's because it's right in the middle of the Latino community.
Right.
We're very successful with them. Events are very, very successful in the community, and they carry a mission statement.
Yes.
So, yes, we're still in 5th Street. We're still in Chu Avenue. As a matter of fact, in 2 months, we're going to be moving to our new office building. It's still going to be on 5th Street in the middle of the Latino community.
Right. Yes. Okay, very good. Now, jumping forward, you entered the Miami market.
Yes.
And I got to imagine that's a big market and a tough market. What made you go into that market, and how is it going?
Well, Miami's a lifestyle. Miami, it's a huge market. It's a very tough market. When we entered the market, there were 166 publications, print publications, and maybe another 40 magazines.
Wow.
Today there are about 206 magazines and newsprint publications, another 40 magazines. But we have managed to grow a brand in Miami.
Right.
El Sol is very well recognized in Miami. We have, my team is very strong, very business oriented, and they know where they have to do their efforts. We did Miami because it was closer to us, our roots in Colombia and roots in Ecuador. And I used to go to the Colombian festivals in Miami to enjoy and have vacation.
Right.
Now I'm in the middle of producing them in Miami.
Right,
that's
right.
Something that we grew into. So it is a big market. It is a huge market. It's market number 3 in the country when it comes to Latinos.
Right.
So going from market 17 to market 3, it's a huge challenge. I mean,
yes.
We have all kinds of distribution challenge, sales challenge, editorial content, staffing challenges. It's something that we have done for the past 6 years when we entered Miami, and we're very happy about that.
Now, you are doing something this year. You're sponsoring Powerful Latinas Award 2019. How is that related to the newspaper and your business?
Well, Councilman, that's a very good question. Right after 9/11, every business went into either high speed of sales or they dropped down in sales because of the nature of what happened.
Yes.
So there was a need at that time for us to connect with our clients. I remember at Sprint Media, we ended up getting a lot of business from corporate America with really powerful messages from patriotism. Like, I remember Sears and Reebok spent a lot of money putting out messages saying we're Americans, and as Americans, we're going to respect our country. And every corporation just came out and put a lot of advertisement dollars, but eventually they ran out of advertisement dollars, and
right.
We went into recession.
Yes.
The print industry went into recession. The media industry went into recession. At that point, I ended up meeting with my clients, seeing how we can help them, because we needed to communicate with clients. So I met with a client. I asked him, "What else can we do for you? What do you need?" He says, "Well, I need an insurance agent." So of course I have insurance agents clients. So I called up one of my clients, I put them together, and then I asked both of them, "What do you need?" They wanted a banking industry. And I remember at that point, Citibank was opening offices in Philadelphia. So I got them together. They built a relationship. So I got 3 happy clients because we connected them.
Right.
So at that point, we built Latino Connection.
Mm,
so Latino Connection has been around for almost 10 years. And every quarter we do an event where we bring our clients together.
Right.
And then we connect them. We make sure they connect with each other.
Right.
We want to make sure they invest their dollars with each other. And then we also bring a keynote speaker, someone that can mentor them. And
right.
They can see eye to eye with them and want to move forward and become better in their business.
Yes.
So that's how Latina Connection, that Latino Connection started.
Right.
Since that happened, we ended up starting to do a lot more of these events that stay true to our mission statement, which is connecting our community and educating our community.
Right.
And then we develop Latina Lifestyle, which is another one of the events that we host in the city. We've been doing that for the past 5 years. And we do the Latinas reception on Friday, and on Saturday we do the Latina Fair. That it's an open event to the public. And we have seminars, we have giveaways, we have prizes, and all those goodies.
Mm. So this year, tell us about what's going on this year.
Well, this year's Latina Lifestyle comes on Friday the 21st, where we're going to honor with the Powerful Latinas. We're going to honor the top 4 Latinas, some of the Latinas that have going above and beyond,
yes,
to help influence the life of others, and we have received numbers of Latinas that have been nominated for this for these awards, and we've already nominated 4.
Mm.
And if you want, I can say their names.
Yeah,
that went on the press list today. Yvette Pena was nominated today. She's the Cultural Affairs Director for AARP nationwide. We nominated Jessica De Jesus from University of Pennsylvania. We nominated Wanda Mora, who is self-made, successful business person that just launched her Medicare, her facial line, and she's also in the hair industry in Haddonfield, New Jersey.
Yes,
Very successful.
Yeah.
So all these successful Latinas that we nominated, they give back to the community.
Right.
And we feel that it's our job as a newspaper to promote what they're doing so that other Latinas continue to do what they're doing.
Now, I know the event is sold out.
Yes, actually.
But are there any events that people can still attend, or is it kind of like it's too late now, everything's sold out?
The Friday event is already sold out. I just got an email. But the Saturday event, which is going to be at Esperanza College on 5th and Hunting Park,
right. It's
open to the public. It's free. And we have, we're going to have four seminars.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a seminar about building wealth.
Right.
Where Latinas can come in and understand how to work with their credit.
Right.
How to look for the right banking, how to get the right education.
Right.
We have a seminar called Living a Healthy Lifestyle, where Latinas can come in and understand behavior patterns about eating.
Right.
And then we also have an educational seminar that has been hosted by Esperanza College about building future education. In the other side, we have entertainment, we have Zumba classes, we have salsa classes.
Right.
We have prizes. We have the opportunity to win a 60-inch TV.
Okay.
Then we have opportunity to win how we can get away to Punta Cana in Dominican Republic. And then we have another weekend getaway to Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Yes.
Atlantic City. So there's a lot of prizes out there.
And well, the prizes help, huh?
The prizes help. And
They make it fun for everybody.
We open up at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we're going to go into 3 o'clock. And it's this Saturday, the 22nd, at Esperanza College on 5th and Hunting Park.
Okay, that sounds like a good thing, and it's a wonderful event. And boy, everybody, get ready for Powerful Latina Award 2020, because you better get your tickets early.
Yes, indeed. When we're passionate about something and it meets the mission statement, Councilman, it just moves forward.
Yes. And it's interesting because all of this is focused on, or what we're talking about, Powerful Latinas, are the women.
Yes.
And it's they're very – why are they so important in what you're doing?
Well, my mom's listening, so I have to know.
Yes.
Of course. Our SQ is 70% Latinas. And the numbers across the country shows the Latinas hold the power. Latinas are the numbers that are growing are for Latinas. Latinx is growing. Latinas business. Latinas are growing. More Latinas in education business are growing.
Mm-hmm.
So the gear of it's oriented towards Latinas.
Right.
That's something that we caught on early enough, and our products. As a matter of fact, we just launched a new brand in Miami 2 years ago called Estilo.
Mm.
Again, it's a lifestyle magazine, high end lifestyle magazine, educating Latinas.
Right. Okay. Well, it's definitely good to hear, and good to see, you know, where the growth is, and that your communication mission is being held true to exactly who you need to target.
We do events in Center City. We have a lot of meetings in Center City. But I do think that our bulk of distribution, our bulk of the newspaper, stays true to the community, which is what we are, a grassroots effort.
For our listeners, how can they stay in touch or get involved with what you're doing, or just follow along?
There's a couple of ways, Councilman. Our website, it's elsolnewsmedia.com. Our Facebook, it's El Sol Latino Newspaper. Our office phone number is 215-424-1200. We're in Instagram at El Sol Latino Newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
We're in Twitter at El Sol Latino Newspaper. And we also have a YouTube channel as well under El Sol Latino News that people can follow us, get involved. We're very active on social media, and we're very responsive to social media.
Yeah, you're also an expert in the Hispanic market. I know that many major corporations and newspapers have kind of engage your expertise in the Hispanic market. How does that work out? How do people engage your expertise?
Well, we went from being a newspaper company to being a communications company. So we are a full-fledged communications company, and everything that we do is in-house. So we now provide services to our clients that need communications plans or need marketing plans in the community, anywhere from building your logo up to building a marketing campaign that would be successful for their brand or creating a brand. So about 15 to 20% of our business comes from that part of the industry.
So if I am a business person and I have a product that I want to sell and I'm thinking, oh, I don't know, you know, I need to expand into my market, I could say, like, wait a minute, maybe I could go into the Latino market here in the Philadelphia region or other places where El Sol is or Hispanic Media Group, and then talk with you, and then you would be able to provide me with the expertise of the demographics, the messaging, the logo, the reach, the digital, the print media campaign, all of that type of thing.
Yeah, we can help you from A to Z in reference to understanding the product, learning about your product, understanding your brand, making sure your brand fits the market, make sure the messaging is proper, the demographic you want to reach is proper, and your campaign is proper. So anywhere from A to Z, we can help you develop that campaign.
Could you give an example, like somebody wants to, you know, kind of reach the consumers in the Hispanic market, and their you know, their approach is good. If it wasn't that market, what do you do to tweak it or to adjust it?
Well, one of the things that we're doing now, it's a lot of education.
Yeah.
So a lot of companies, we now service API. API, it's the American Petroleum Institute.
Yes.
And they're coming into the market because in 2025, they have to fill 3 million jobs in the oil industry.
Yes.
Which is a great deal for our community.
Right.
So our job is to educate them and educate our community as to how to fit that model in the market.
Right.
So Latinos can apply for better jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Latinos can apply for education early on that will eventually lead to better jobs with higher wages, which gives them better lifestyle.
Right, right.
So we're doing a whole analysis with them, and we looked at the communities they want to reach, and then we help them penetrate.
Right.
In other instances, then we have to advise clients whether print media is the proper product that they want to reach or whether it is digital products that they need to use to reach their audience.
Typically, I think of print media for like older folks like myself and the digital for young folks. Not necessarily true, but that's what I generally think of.
Yeah, of course. Studies have shown that magazines are due to last longer than newspapers. Mm-hmm. But just the recent Nielsen report with Latinx shows that magazines will have a longer carry weight than newspapers.
Wow.
But newspaper is still a very strong communication vehicle in our market.
Okay, well, listen.
For the communities.
For any of that type of expertise, they can contact Hispanic Media LLC, El Sol, all of that. And so thank you very much for coming on and sharing that information. And listen, I'll tell our listeners, tune in next week for In the Know with David O.
You've been listening to In the Know with David O on 860 AM WWDB. Tune in again next Tuesday at 2 p.m. for more informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio with Philadelphia Councilman David O.